Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and becoming your most authentic self. Chloe is a spiritual practitioner, astrologer, and entrepreneur. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and therapist in training. We combined our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we have found to be helpful to us on our respective journeys.
Okay, so when all of y'all are listening to this, the holiday season will technically be over. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie, adult holiday season, Christmas, whatever, is so much better than childhood Christmas. Mm. Because you can just really do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh my gosh. That's the best part about it.
There's no... and. I'm sorry, if you believe in Santa and you're listening to our podcast, like, you probably shouldn't be, because we're a little explicit, and we're about to, like, break some of that for you, but, like, you don't actually have to wait until Christmas to open your presents either.
No, do what you want, honestly. Like,
my husband and I, so if you guys didn't know, we record these a little bit in advance, and yesterday was technically Christmas for us.
Yes.
So, my husband and I, though, we also celebrate Yule. We don't really do Christmas because we live about 600 miles away from both of our families. We haven't been home for a Christmas in a decade. So, actually, I think we've been home one time for Christmas in the last 10 years. And actually, that makes me kind of sad. I never really, like, thought about the timelines, aww, but... honestly, we do whatever the hell we want to. We did nothing yesterday.
Oh, I love that.
Like, so we'd already exchanged all of our gifts. And I don't know if I told you this, Hillary, but we also, like, if we even exchange gifts, we just take each other shopping, like, beforehand. We're just like, here's money for you, here's money for me. Everybody gets to go shopping, and we usually do it together.
Yes.
So how was yours?
Mine was actually really good, and I honestly, I feel the same about what you were saying, because my Christmas was about, it's like the least Christmassy Christmas that you could have, and I loved it.
Right?
It was so good. We had breakfast food at like 5 p.m. It was amazing.
Oh, shit. So good. You didn't tell me breakfast was dinner. I love that so much.
Oh, yeah. Full on Brinner. It was the best.
Oh my god, Brinner. Love that.
It's the best meal ever.
Dude, we did. So I do this thing called Self-Care Tuesday.
Oh, and I love Self-Care Tuesday.
Oh, me too. So Christmas this year fell on a Wednesday. My husband, from his normie job, has the day off. He gets like federal holidays off. And so I purposefully didn't do Self-Care Tuesday so that he and I could do something together. And honestly, we totally did, like, we did our own things for the most part, but something I do a lot on Self-Care Tuesday is make my own sushi. And I didn't tell you about this either, Hillary, but we made sushi, but because we were together and had, like, I had more than just my own hands to do everything, mm-hmm, we, like, went the extra mile. Like, not only did we do, like, tomato tuna, because my husband and I are both vegan, so we make tuna out of tomatoes. It sounds weird, but don't knock it till you try it. It's so good.
That makes sense, though. The texture seems about right.
It's so spot on, especially if you marinate it beforehand with, like, kelp powder and stuff. It's spot on.
Oh.
So we do tomatoes, avocado, tofu. But here's the thing. We also were gifted an air fryer for Christmas. And we made crispy tempura tofu in the air fryer first.
Yes.
And then put that inside of, like, the avocado roll. It was so good.
Oh, my God. I'm freaking out. Yes. Oh, I love
so, Hillary,
food.
When are you coming back so I can make you sushi?
Anytime. All the time. Every time. Oh, my gosh. Food is, like, the way to my heart. I am in.
Oh. Same energy. So, yeah, I usually make sushi on my own personal Self-Care Tuesday, but because he was home, we did, like, super self-care sushi deliciousness, and it was fabulous, and I loved every minute of it.
I love that. Beautiful. I just had lazy time. It's my favorite time. When you don't have to do anything.
I did a little bit of work yesterday. Like, I worked on podcast stuff, but that was because that's what I wanted to do. Mm. Like, I asked myself, what do I want to do? And that was what I wanted to do.
I wanted to do nothing because I finished my thesis. And I said, nope, I'm done.
I'm so happy. You've been talking about this thesis since you, like, started school.
I know.
And now it's done, Hillary.
It's insane. I mean, there may be, like, a couple last minute edits, and it has to be, like, approved and printed and bound and published. But whatever. It's done.
Whatever, it's fine.
It's done.
Totally.
I'm so excited. And so after that, I was like, nope. It's funny. This isn't what we'll talk about this episode, but I think next episode we'll be talking about this. After finishing the thesis, I went into full-on, like, winter mode. I just want to eat and sleep.
Yes.
But we'll get to that more later.
Yeah, we'll get to that next week. So we don't really have a good segue for this, but today we're talking about imposter syndrome.
I love a bad segue.
Me too. Which I feel like I have so much experience with imposter syndrome.
Same.
I think a lot of people do, mm-hmm. and they just don't know what it means. Mm-hmm. Because I've said it on numerous occasions in, like, group settings, and people will be like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what that is, listen up. I'm about to tell you. Let me break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a definition, and I just pulled this. It was, like, the top on Google, and it says, imposter syndrome can be defined as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evidence of success. Imposters suffer from chronic self-doubt and a sense of intellectual fraudulence that override any feelings of success or external proof of their competence.
Yes, yes, yes. Yep, yep.
So, let me just tell you, friends, I think I deal with imposter syndrome on a daily basis. literally, I think it's daily, because even Hillary, you tell me all the time, you're like, Chloe, your intuition is so fire. Like, mm-hmm. you have such great intuition. Like, mm-hmm. when I read for other people, it always resonates. Or when I read for you, it resonates. I've been told numerous times. Mm-hmm. I've read for hundreds of clients.
And I stand by those statements.
Yet still, I doubt myself in terms of being, like, a tarot card reader, which is one of my many side businesses. Mm-hmm. And I still am like, oh, like, am I just projecting what I'm feeling? Or is it true? Or is it, like, I constantly struggle with this, even though I've predicted, like, the most outrageous things. Like, mm-hmm. I've predicted pregnancy in multiple clients. I've predicted moves. I've predicted, like, there's evidence, mm-hmm. exactly how imposter syndrome is defined. There is clear evidence that, like, I have intuition and I'm really in touch with it.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, still, I'm like, oh, like, maybe that reading won't resonate with them. Maybe it was all just me coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but there's also this, like, and I probably need to go deeper into this, and I would love to hear if you have any feelings on this, Hillary. Like, anything, literally. But something that I deal with a lot is, like, out of nowhere sometimes. I'm sure there's a trigger point and I just haven't identified it yet. But out of nowhere sometimes I will just be overcome with this feeling of, like, who am I to be this loud? Who am I to, mm-hmm. like, be on social media at Cozy Kale if you guys don't follow me? Mm-hmm. Shameless self-plug. But on, like, social media, I do a lot of really long-winded posts that talk about, like, basically topics that just kind of debunked the current human experience in reality, because there are so many weird rules that we have, especially socially, and I'm very, very, very loud about my opinions on those things. And most of the time it really resonates with people, and I don't get people, like, coming for me upset or anything like that, but randomly I'll just be hit with it, like, oh my gosh, who am I to be this loud? Who am I to open up in such a way? Who am I to expose myself like this? What is my voice in a sea of many? Like, I just and it's, like, overwhelming, and I get, like, almost, like, embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like, the like there's like a body reaction in me. Like I turn a little bit red, even if no one has said anything to me, I've not been exposed. It's just like in my own personal downtime, these like feelings of embarrassment show up.
I have so many thoughts on that.
Oh, good. I knew that you would.
A few things came to mind. One, I was reminded when you were talking about, of course, one of our favorites, Brené Brown. And
oh, love her.
I can't remember her exact words. Her exact words are escaping me. But essentially, in one of the many things that she's done, and again, can't remember where this one came from, but it was probably either one of her two TED Talks or her Netflix special, most likely. She said something about how shame is the voice that says, I want to get this right. Oh, okay. So I think I'm getting it right. She says something like, shame is the voice that says, you're not good enough or you can't do that. And then when you can overcome that, it's the voice that says, who the hell do you think you are?
Oof.
Right?
Big mood.
Right? So it like transforms. It's so interesting because it to me feels like shame transforms in order to continue trying to bully us, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally.
It's like as we get stronger, the shame is like, oh yeah, well, who do you think you are? So there's that that came up. And I just feel the need to point out that like in the type of society that we live in, with all of the patriarchy and sexism and everything that just has been around historically for a long time, which even, okay, here's where it gets complicated. And we've talked about this before. Just because we are not currently trying to perpetuate the same bigoted mind frames that came before us, doesn't mean that our society or our unconscious ways of being haven't been influenced by what happened before us, if that makes sense.
Yes, you're right, though.
So it's funny because I think we're in this period of time where we're trying to break free of any kind of narrow structure, any kind of thing that has caged people. And I think there's many groups that are trying to do this right now. And good. Like, honestly.
Yes.
The status quo can just say,
the status quo can fuck right off.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not a little bit. All the way.
All the way off. All the way off.
several seasons.
Yes. And so there's also something about, like, this question of, but who am I to be so expansive? Who am I to have a voice? Who am I to take up space? That directly contradicts that kind of the way that things have been. I'm not being very specific.
No, I totally understand.
I think you see what I'm saying. It's like being able to stand up against that, I think, is a lot harder than sometimes we acknowledge, because it's rooted in just like centuries of people saying, no, sit down, no, be quiet, you know?
Totally. Well, and like, I think, and this is so, I mean, I know we're still in my story portion here, so I guess it's appropriate, but something that really made me reflect over the new moon, no doubt, I was looking at the Pattern app for myself.
I love that app.
Oh, me too. It's so good.
It really is.
And you can tell that it's made by really intentional astrologers, which I think is a very important thing to note. But it's a great app. It like gives you personal astrology information if you plug your chart information into it. It's very intentional. As an astrologer myself, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. But basically, I was looking at it and I have this cycle that's ending in like 5 days called Letting Go of Chaos. And it's all about like being a rebel for rebel's sake. Like, check yourself. Like, are you being rebellious because it's something that you're like fighting for a good cause? Or are you being rebellious at this point just because it feels good to be different and that's the only reason you're doing it? Mm. And it really kind of like, I was like, damn, hit me with that real shit when I read it, because I feel like in particular in my family dynamic, I can speak very candidly about this because it's my experience and I feel like it's the truth. There was a time period where I feel like I was really there for change. But now I think I've been given so much praise for it from so many different family members that want things to be different, but don't have the current, I don't want to say strength, but like the current will to do it themselves, mm-hmm. that I feel like sometimes I will just like say certain things to stir shit up, mm-hmm. because I just have no patience. And also I'm known for being that bitch. And so I guess what I wanted to say on that front, like I brought it up because I feel like a lot of times my imposter syndrome comes in when I feel like I've said something that even though I think it's true, sometimes it does kind of go back to the scope of family. Mm-hmm. And I get really like, oh my God, am I correct in this? Should I just like fall in line and be like everyone else and accept that this is the normal and yada, 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 yada. So I've had a lot to think about over this holiday season.
Totally. Oh, I have 30 days left in that same cycle.
Letting oh, really?
Go of chaos, yeah. I just got out of Let Go of Illusions.
Oh, I think I'm either just got out of that Oof. One or I'm still in that one too.
That was a rough one. But so needed. Oh, God.
Well, I feel like even like from the chaos perspective on mine that I'm currently coming out of, I think it was a necessary phase, mm-hmm. 100%. Absolutely. Like I see, where so much of me, like I feel like because of it, I actually made my voice more solid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like Hillary talks to you guys all the time about how like direct I am. I feel like it's because of that awesome. Cycle. It's I don't so feel good. Like I was very direct. And now I feel like I'm extremely direct. And I think it gave me my voice back.
Yay.
Sometimes that voice can get a little fucking carried away, but
throat chakra opening up. Yes.
Aries Mercury telling it like it is too. Shit.
All of it. All of it. I love it.
So, there's one more thing I want to hit on for my part of this in imposter syndrome, and that is in my line of work, which I have many things that I do. I know we already kind of talked about like the tarot card portion of feeling like there's some imposter syndrome going on there. I'm like constantly afraid somebody's going to come in and call me a fraud, even though I know that that's not true. Even on like the gaming industry front there, and I know I've talked about this before, but my gaming channel, it's under the name Coffee. It blew up after I was featured on WatchMojo. Like, for randomly, they featured me in a WatchMojo video. I didn't even know that it had happened until people were coming to my channel in droves, like being like, oh my God, did you see that you were on WatchMojo? And I'm just like, huh? First of all, what the hell's WatchMojo? Second of all, like, what? And then I saw it, and they're like this huge channel that has millions of followers, and my channel like hit this record high. And I felt like now I'm in a position where I feel like I know how to handle stuff like that. When it happens, it's like a huge blessing, and I feel like it should be like really carefully like considered because of that. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was so like, who am I to have this? Who am I to, like, I'm just sitting here making stuff that makes me happy. Why are all these people here? And that, and that same year, I got invited to go to Sims Camp the first time. Hillary, I think this experience was the height of my imposter syndrome. Going to Sims Camp the first time, because I've been twice, which mm-hmm. is such an extreme, amazing honor. And if you guys don't know what that is, it's basically like the company Electronic Arts under the Sims franchise. They do these events where they invite creators from different platforms, and it's limited. Like, they don't invite normally more than like 40 people max. And the time that I went the first time, I think there were maybe 20, 25 of us. And this is like not just YouTube. It's like Twitch, YouTube, bloggers. Like, it's every platform, and they chose me. So I'm like this channel that blew up randomly. And I have to tell you, I have never felt like more of an imposter in my entire life. Like sitting around all these other creators that had massive channels compared to mine, I was like, who put me here? Mm. Why am I here? I have no, like, I was not myself. I felt like I had no voice. I was very quiet the entire time, which you know me, Hillary, that is not me. I was so quiet the entire time. I felt like I was like hanging on to everyone else's words. And I kind of have a good, there's a good part in here. Don't worry. You know, it was so, I kept asking myself during this entire like 3-day experience where I got to like, the company flew me out to their headquarters, put me up in a hotel, paid for my food, like everything just so I could test out their game franchise before the next expansion came out. And I was blown away. I didn't even know what to do with it. And I felt like I didn't deserve to be there. I kept telling, and when I came home, I kept telling people like, oh, that was a fluke. That was a one-time experience. I expect to get invited back. It was totally a fluke. Mm. That also bleeds into Law of Attraction, by the way, because the following year I did not get invited. And I think it was because of that intention.
Mm, and we have a whole episode on Law of Attraction in case you missed it.
Whole episode. So then fast forward another year. So I think that was 2016 and then 2017, I didn't get invited, but then 2018, they took me to London. And this is where this story really turns around because don't get me wrong, I was still terrified. I'd never flown out of the country and it was a really big, oh my God, I can't even like begin to express how insane that was. Mm-hmm. That experience alone was so amazing. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But it was such a night and day experience from where I had been, because at this point I'd grown my channel. I'd done so much work. I'd really put a lot of effort and energy into my craft. I'm way more experienced 2 years later from the first encounter. And the second one, Hillary, you'll be so proud. Mm-hmm. My only goal for that entire trip was to be my most authentic self.
Yes, that's the only goal we need ever.
And I fucking did that.
Yes.
And I felt so good about all the connections that I made. And I felt so good about the people I did get to spend time talking to. And even though I'm not really in that realm as much anymore, I've kind of purposefully pulled back because I just realized a lot of things on that trip that made me feel like this is not really where I want to be for the rest of my life. That's a whole other story for a whole other time. But I just feel like it was such a like, wow, way to go from imposter syndrome 2 years prior to like fully standing up and being like, nope, this is who I am. I do deserve to be here. They chose me because I'm really good at what I do and I deserve to be here.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not even about like deserving, because then we get into like, does anybody deserve anything really? Mm. But I don't know. I don't know what like changed over that 2 year period, but the second trip was awesome and I felt really good about it. And I felt like I did deserve to be there.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me.
And it was such a better experience.
That reminds me of, do you know who Issa Rae is?
No.
Ah, she's amazing. She's amazing. Multi-talented, very smart, very funny woman. She does Insecure on HBO. And she also, I think it's with Robin Thede. She also does, a Black Lady sketch show, also on HBO. Just incredible human being. Wonderful work. Just, I can't say enough about her. Point being, she had an acceptance speech for an award for being an entrepreneur. I can't remember the award's name, but there is this great speech that she gave. And she intentionally said, like, I don't want to be humble in this speech. And
I love that.
Which is so not her. But she goes up and she's like, I want to channel all those rappers that I listen to who they don't even know what humble means. Like, and her speech was so good. And that's the kind of energy she brought to it, where like one line of her speech was like, entrepreneur means I did that shit on my own.
Hell yeah.
And I think the way she ended it was something like, in conclusion, something like, I deserve this. Okay, bye. Like, but she did it way better. And I wish I could remember the exact words. But that kind of energy.
Oftentimes we are too fucking humble.
I know.
Like, we could talk about that probably for hours too.
Well, there's so much in that.
Well, yeah, and I feel like the second, like, we're not humble, that can cause really big imposter syndrome as well.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Because we've been so, as, like, a collective, I feel like we've been so conditioned to always be humble.
Yeah, and then what's frankly, the reason for it, too?
Yeah.
You know, like, are we humble because we legitimately don't think that we are good enough, which is an issue?
Totally.
Or are we humble because we really, really want other people to say that we're actually doing great? So if we talk ourselves down, then someone else will talk us up, because then totally. We get into like needing external validation, and that's also not great.
That's so, also not great.
So like, what's the whole humble thing? I mean, to a point, it feels like there's something nice about it that you're not saying. I think the benefit is, oh God, I'm getting so confused here. It's like, I struggle with it because there's the whole, for in my mind, it's like I run the risk of being seen as arrogant and pompous and like, yes. I'm so much better, which I don't believe.
Right? Same.
But there's a huge difference between being confident and being arrogant. Those are two different totally. Things. Oh my God, we, yeah.
But I also think it's all about like, perception too, like
yes.
who you're saying it to, because yes. like some people, like if somebody sat there and told me about all their accomplishments, mm-hmm. honestly, I'm gonna be like, yes,
great,
tell me more.
Yes.
But if you say that to a certain person that like doesn't believe in that, like yes. it's gonna come off as really arrogant.
It's also not just perception but also projection. Oh my yes. God, I have so many more thoughts. We should have so many thoughts and stop feelings. Going down this rabbit hole.
All right. We actually need to take a little break, and you guys get to hear a word from our sponsors.
While we climb out of this rabbit hole.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. All right. We went down there. We pet the bunnies. We're good now.
Oh my God, yes! We pet the bunnies!
Why else would you go down a rabbit hole? I'm just saying.
I mean, that's the only reason.
It's the only reason to pet the bunnies. Yeah. Obvi.
Oh, that's amazing. I like it. yeah. So imposter syndrome. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where to start with this one. Okay, so Chloe, I think at the beginning of your stories, God, it feels so weird to call them that. It feels
I mean,
odd.
They are stories. It's
I know.
True.
There's something
Bitch,
about...
I'm the sage.
Right. I feel like, oh, this is a whole other thing. I worry that we've devalued storytelling in our culture. I know. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's okay. You gave me the floor. Now it's your turn to have the floor.
Story time. Yay.
Yay.
Everyone, I have like 1 foot in vacation mode, so, you know, please excuse my, what would you call this? Odd mood?
I don't know. You're just chill. It's fine.
I'm half here. It's great. So imposter syndrome. Yeah, Chloe, you had said earlier that, yours comes up like almost every day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like I could argue every day. Like
me too.
Really?
Absolutely.
That surprises me.
But see, that's the whole thing with imposter syndrome is no one thinks that anyone else has it going on.
No,
but we all do.
All of us. You're so fucking right.
I legitimately okay. I've talked to 2 of my own previous therapists about imposter syndrome. And I just think this is hilarious, but also proves the point. One of them I had asked, actually, no, I asked both of them. I said, so, but when does it stop? And both of them were like, it doesn't. It doesn't. Oof. And they're like, I still feel imposter syndrome. I'm like, what the hell? But that's both the good and bad part. Okay, it's kind of like this. This is the best thing I have to relate it to right now, because it's so fresh in my mind. I titled my thesis Lone Wolves in a Cold Winter. And ooh. I know, right? I fell in love with that. It just came to me one day. But the reason that it came to me is because I had that image in my mind of all of these wolves that are not in a pack together. They are lone wolves, but they're all together in this cold, harsh environment. That's what imposter syndrome reminds me of. We're all walking around just like, oh no, I'm not good enough. Oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm the only one who feels this way. And everyone else is feeling this exact same way.
You're not wrong.
I don't think I've talked to a single person who doesn't describe imposter syndrome to me in some way. So, you know, hopefully that makes us feel a little less alone in it.
Well, yeah. And I feel like you're right. Everybody does, like, we all feel like, oh, this person has it together mm-hmm. and that person has it together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also, I mean, I'll speak for myself and in my own personal line of work, but I work mainly in social media and especially in social media.
Yes.
Because everybody's projecting the highlight reel. Everybody's mm-hmm. putting like their best foot online or their best face online, I should say.
Yes.
Their foot. I mean, some people are about feet pictures too. That's a whole other topic for a whole other time. But, you know, some people are like, a lot of people are putting their best face forward. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, every single one of us on the planet plays the comparison game in one way or another.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Comparing. There was some quote that I love. Something like, comparison is the thief of happiness. Or something like that.
True.
So true. So honestly, like, I experience imposter syndrome pretty much every day as well. Mine comes, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, Chloe, but I'm not sure. This might surprise you, but it comes all the time with school and clients.
I could see that.
Like, all the time.
Where...
Yeah.
I could see that, especially with like clients
yeah.
and with school. Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And I think the part that's really confusing is oftentimes what happens is I will get the sense that maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm not good at whatever it is. Maybe I'm not, you know, fill in the blank with whatever.
Yeah.
But that kind of thinking, that kind of self-referential thinking. And then I'll get positive feedback from, like, a professor or a peer or a colleague or a supervisor or whomever. And it throws me for a loop because in my mind, I have all of these areas to grow in and I'm not sure that I know what I'm doing and maybe I'm making mistakes and all of these kinds of things. But then the people who are actually evaluating my work are saying that I'm so good at whatever it is, or, I mean, it feels weird to start listing the compliments I've received, but, which goes back to the humble thing, but I get really positive feedback, and, I mean, I think I've told you, Chloe, there have been moments where, like, I'm getting positive feedback from someone who is above me and evaluating my work, and I just have this thought of, like, you know who you're talking to, right? Or, like, there's other people or, you know, like, things like that.
Honestly, when I went to my first event that I was talking about, there were people that wanted selfies with me
mm-hmm.
that were there. And I was mind blown by this. I was like, you want a picture with me because your family won't believe who you're with. Are you serious?
Right.
Like, blew my mind.
Exactly. I mean, that kind of stuff really, I think that's the hardest part for me with imposter syndrome, is that I have become aware of the fact that other people's assessment of me does not match my own assessment of me.
Same.
And that, I think, is how I came to know that I'm in imposter syndrome. Because you don't know it if you don't understand that that's
exactly.
not accurate, you know? Like, You could spend years just telling yourself that you don't know what you're doing or you're not good enough or whatever it may be, but maybe that's not entirely true. And until the sad part is, I think oftentimes it does take that external feedback to know that it's not true.
Totally.
But I also hate that that means we're relying on other people's external evaluation and assessment of us for how we see ourselves.
Ugh. My gosh, it's just a big loop.
I know. So it's really hard. And I will say this. I used to think that it would go away if I could just get X, Y, and Z, if I could just be A, B, and C. Like, what I used to tell myself a long time ago was, when I graduate from high school, then I'll feel like I'm good enough. And then I graduated from high school. I was like, okay, well, when I graduate from college, then I'll feel like I'm good enough. Okay, well, I got my bachelor's. And then I was like, okay, well, when I get my master's degree, then I'll feel... And honestly...
Oh my God.
That was when it hit me. I was like, this has nothing to do, and I think this is what I want everyone to know, it has nothing to do with the status you hold, the title you receive, whatever degree or credential you have. It has nothing to do with where you are in the hierarchy of life. None of that. It doesn't really matter. Because, number one, a lot of those things we create and impose on ourselves, so we are the only ones who give it value. If you don't value it, it has no value.
True.
And number two, the imposter syndrome and the feelings of, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm not good enough, those won't go away with anything that can come from an outside source.
You're not wrong.
And trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. It has to come somewhere internal. And I think that's the hard part, because think about even the name, imposter syndrome. An imposter is someone who is tricking other people. It necessarily involves other people. The whole right. thing is structured around other people and how they look at us and our willingness to accept that or to trick ourselves about it.
Oh my God.
I know.
Hillary hitting me with all the truth today. I was not ready to be punished this way, Mom. Fuck.
I can't help it. I just start talking in words.
Damn. You know, you're not wrong, though, like, at all. Like, where is the lie? There is none. It's like, even with myself, I feel like that same loop has happened mm-hmm. with, like, you talking about high school and then college and, mm-hmm. you know, I would treat my work the same way. And it's always money for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I make this much money, I'll be taken seriously and my job will be serious.
Yeah.
And because I've been in entrepreneurship for almost 7 years mm-hmm. now, and I still don't take myself seriously. Mm-hmm. And I don't think everyone, I think a lot of people in my life do respect me and take me seriously, but there's a lot of people who don't yeah. still. And I think something that we're cresting on is that you really have to find that validation yourself.
Yes. And you just reminded me, the way you described it, it sounds a lot like the hedonic treadmill effect. I think we've talked about that before.
We have talked about this before.
Okay, well, quick summary for those who haven't heard it. The hedonic treadmill effect has been called the greatest thief of happiness, or some phrasing like that. The point is, it's not good for your happiness. It undercuts your experience of happiness. Because what it is you get something, you adjust to it, so you want more, and then you get the more... You adjust to it, so you want more. And that cycle just keeps on going. Ugh. In my mind, it's how people end up with, like, multiple mansions. It's like, okay,
I can see that.
I need a house. Great, I got a house. Okay, now, I don't know, maybe a boat. Okay, well, I got a boat. Okay, well, maybe another house. Okay, I got two houses and a boat now. Okay, well, maybe a bigger house. You see how it can just keep going?
Totally.
But in that, it never makes you happy. We're trying to fill an internal hole with bigger and bigger things outside of ourselves. And it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It has to come from internal first.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And honestly, I think my biggest fear is I never want to come across as arrogant.
Same.
I never want to, back to the humble thing, I never want to come across as being like arrogant or not humble. And so I will constantly let this hole like fester.
Yes.
Because if I get too cocky about everything I'm doing, then that looks bad on me.
And I think the hardest part, because I so agree with that. And I think the hard question that I don't want to ask, but that I'm going to ask is, and this is not just for you, it's also for me and for anyone else who, you know, is listening and feels like it resonates. The hard question comes down to, is it worth it to devalue ourselves and push ourselves down in order to make sure that other people look at us highly?
Oof.
I know. I know. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I know. And also, doesn't that logic weirdly not make sense too? Because if we're pushing us down and silencing ourselves, if we're not allowing ourselves to show our own greatness, how is it that in our minds, and I do say our because I am one of these people as well, how is it that in our minds that somehow raises us up? It's like, it's the thought of, oh my God, I don't want to make this religious or anything, but it's kind of like, please don't get mad at me, everyone. Please don't. It's kind of like the whole Jesus martyr thing.
Yes.
If I am willing to hurt myself to sit here and do whatever to keep myself down or to take on the harm that others will give me, I can be revered and seen as like greater than.
Ooh.
And I know that's not a direct comparison, and please don't hate me, and please don't get mad at me.
I think that's such a good comparison to bring out. Like, I have so many thoughts and feelings about the, like, weird, sorry, but in my mind it's weird. You think for yourself and what you believe, but for me personally, it's weird. Mm. And I come from a very religious background that I am no longer a part of, but... It like that like really no I'm just gonna say it I'm just gonna be authentic I'm just gonna say it I think there are very few no there's a lot of things in this world that grind my gears. There's not few things, there's a lot of things, but one of the top, like, shall we say, god tier level things that gets on my fucking nerves is when people that really like pride themselves in being like quote unquote Christ-like mm-hmm. get down on people who aren't. Mm. Because to me, I'm like, okay, but you're doing things in the name of a God where this person is just nice and doing things because they feel that that's what resonates best with them, mm-hmm. not in the name of someone else.
I know.
And yet the person who isn't Christ-like is the problem?
I know.
I don't understand. I'm sorry for all y'all that are religious. We accept all of you.
Absolutely.
Like, if it makes you the best version of yes. you that you can be, like, that's yes. all that matters.
See, that's the point.
I personally have a really big chip on my shoulder mm-hmm. about, like, Christianity and religion, but that's my problem. Like,
yeah, and I'm in the same boat, and I think we can totally recognize our own bias here. I think the gist of what I want to get across is, like, here, I'll make it more psychological and less spiritual, because we're getting in some hot water real quick.
Boil me, Hillary. I want to die here.
I love it. It's like, I'm thinking of the masochistic personality and the narcissistic personality. And these are personality styles, not personality disorders, that I'm talking about. Also, we have a whole episode on this stuff, too.
We do.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like this. Often in our culture, narcissists are vilified. They're yes. looked at as just, like, the worst, you know? Now, I do have to say, psychologically speaking, having some narcissistic qualities can be healthy and normal. So it's just the term has gotten a bad rap, and there's some other things that go along with it. That's a whole other topic. The point is, the narcissistic personalities often are looked at as being pretty terrible, and they're vilified. Masochistic personalities, we can all probably objectively say, sure, that's not a good thing, but let's be honest, if you see someone behaving that way, a lot of time, you might actually praise them for it.
Ooh.
Because a masochistic personality will put other people's needs above their own and will take on pain and hurt in order to make sure that other people are happy. It's why the masochist and the narcissist pair well together. But this, I think, is the struggle that we face. I think this is what I was also trying to speak to, is like, if we're willing to take a beating so that other people will look upon us highly or be happy with us or be pleased with us or whatever, like, is that worth it? I think that's the gist for me.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head.
So imposter syndrome is really, really hard. There's a lot that has to do with other people in it. And I think that's the hardest part.
You know what, though, Hillary? I'm so proud of us for speaking so candidly about it. Because I think even that can be very difficult.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, I cannot tell you how happy it would make me to hear, like, super powerful people talk about imposter syndrome. Like, for instance, if Oprah came out and was like, oh, I have imposter syrome.
I think it would open the conversation for so many people.
Right? And I just say Oprah because she's like a goddess. Like,
I know. I love Oprah.
Oh my God.
Big fan.
Jeez. She dropped down
that
from the heavens.
Gets so much hate, Hillary.
What? Why?
Yeah. I like anytime, because I follow her like Oprah Masterclass on YouTube, and like I think I've looked at her Twitter before too. Every single time she posts that she's doing like a new retreat, a new book release, or like something new is happening in her realm, every single comment is like, oh yeah, because you need more money. Like, everybody demonizes the shit out of what she does. And I'm like, dude, y'all need to just shut up and listen sometimes. Like, do you listen to anything this woman brings to the collective? And also, who taught you that it's wrong to, like, provide for yourself?
Ooh, that sounds like a wound that's taken over there.
Well, there's a lot of them.
You know what? Honestly, most of the time now when I hear harsh words from people, I imagine that it's like this gaping wound inside them that's talking and not the actual person.
That's smart.
Like, and it makes it easier to hear, too. I'll tell you that for sure. Because it's like, oof, you are just hurt to hell, man. Woof.
Woof. Woof. That's a beat Andrew started saying. I don't know why we go woof. Instead of like, ouch, we'll go woof. I don't know where he gets it, but I get it from him.
Nice. So I don't know that I have anything else to add. I do want to talk about homework, but
yeah, we can go into homework.
I think the big thinker on imposter syndrome that, honestly, Chloe, I didn't think of until we got into talking about it, but it's that part where it's like, oh wow, this whole thing revolves around other people.
Yeah, it does.
Homework.
Yay, love homework for us.
Yes. So I'm just going to be honest. The homework that we were thinking of is honestly directly taken from a therapeutic technique that I use personally all the time. Like, yes, I use it in therapy as well. However, I'm talking like in my personal life. From the time I was a teenager, I have been using this. And it's so helpful. So I'm not trying to therapize you all. I just want to present, like we said in our intro, we want to present the things that have been helpful to us.
Yes.
So please excuse me if you feel therapized too, or at. Anyway.
You can always therapize me. I will always take it.
Aww. So nice. But boundaries.
Well, yes. Also boundaries. We covered that.
Yes. Okay. So here's what we would recommend. We talked about this. For imposter syndrome. Just give it a shot. And take it one step at a time. So this does have multiple parts. And think of it as a journaling activity. You can do it without writing it down, but it probably would work best if you write it down for several reasons. So, first you're going to start with the situation. So first, what happened? And we're going with things that make you feel like an imposter in your life. So first, what happened. Just facts, just like day, time, this person said this, this thing happened, you know, just facts. Then you're going to write, what is the belief or feeling coming up around that? So that can be a thought that keeps repeating in your head. It can be a belief about yourself. It can be anything that has to do with that experiential aspect, right? So maybe the belief is, oh, I'm not good enough. That might be a really common one. Maybe the feeling is embarrassed. Maybe the thought is, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, who knows? That could be just a combination. Just see what comes up. The third part is when you're going to write down all the evidence you have that supports your belief, feeling, or thinking about the situation. So go with anything and everything that actually supports that. I know it sounds weird. Give it a second. Because the next part is you're going to write down all the evidence you have against that. So the first part, so say it's a situation where it's like, I always go with school stuff. So the situation is, I think I did really poorly on a test. I had a test and it didn't go well. Okay, my belief or feeling might be that I'm so dumb and how could I think I would do any better because I'm so dumb. And then the evidence for that, you'd take any times where you didn't do well on school stuff, write them down, you know. And then the evidence against would be all of the times that you got a good grade, all of the times that someone said you knew what you were talking about, all of the times that you felt like you understood the material in class, stuff like that. The very last part is the key part, and that's to reframe your thinking.
Yes.
So in this example, that would look something like you go back to the belief and you go to, okay, the belief was, I'm so dumb. So my reframe, as I look at this evidence here, is I didn't study enough for this test, or I made a mistake, or stuff like that. Now, I like to add on an extra part to it, and I highly, highly recommend this.
We love a little sneaky extra part.
Oh, yes, because you could stop with, I made a mistake. You could stop with, I didn't study hard enough. But let's take it one step further and say, I made a mistake, and that's okay because I'm human.
Totally.
Maybe it's, I didn't study hard enough for this test, but I learned, and I will do better next time.
Love that.
So add that spin on the end to it as well, because otherwise you may find yourself stuck right back in that same thinking. You can see the risk there, right?
Totally.
So that's the basic rundown, and give it a shot. Go from situation to the belief to the evidence for it, the evidence against it, and then reframe that shit. Like, really reframe it.
I love that. Someday we'll make a printable for you, because I think that would be so helpful. Someday in the future.
Yeah.
I would love to make printables on the prompts that we've suggested.
I agree. They'd be super cute, too.
They would be so cute.
But really, just give that a shot. I do have to say, when I start feeling like an imposter, I'll actually take a minute and I'll talk to myself. I'll walk myself through this in my mind and say, okay, well, what happened? All right, okay, well, what do I think? And then, okay, well, what supports that? Okay, what doesn't? Okay, and then I'll reframe it. And I'll say the reframe over and over to myself. Highly recommend.
I love that. Homework is lovely. I think I need to do that.
I think we all need to do it.
Yeah, I think we all could do a little bit of that homework shit.
Right?
Also,
super fast. It's funny that we're saying we think we could all use some of it, because it's one of the most readily used approaches in therapy because it works so well.
Well, and what's interesting is even in the spiritual community, when we teach about limiting beliefs and like basically opening yourself to being able to manifest better or different or whatever you want to call what you're trying to do, that is actually a technique that is widely used.
Yes.
Across all manifesting. Like if you feel blocked from manifesting this is a big technique that is used. So
I think
that's really cool. I love that spirituality and psychology really do link.
I know. In a lot of ways, here's the big secret. They're kind of the same thing.
I agree with that.
Right?
I don't know why we're whispering.
I don't know. It's a secret, but somehow it's broadcast everywhere around the world. I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
Well, that's all we got.
Yeah, that's what we got today. So I hope you guys are having a fantastic start to your week.
Yes.
And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye, guys. If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag Authenticity Warrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability not only to give feedback to the podcast, but you can also send in voice recorded questions that we are able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary. More info on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email. We'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week. And remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you again next Monday.